Last year, we had no case in Canada, nor for the big leagues. Only 35% of manipulated meth was coming from North America. The vast majority was coming from the Caribbean.
Hello, and welcome back to the Gaming News Canada show. I'm your host, Steve McAllister. If you have had anything at all to do in the business of sports over the past 20 years, you're more than aware of Sport Radar's impact. The Swiss technology and integrity services company has its digital digits all over the sports landscape, including its partnerships with the National Hockey League, Major League Baseball, the National Basketball Association, FIFA, UEFA, the Bundesliga, sportsbooks around the world, and also here in Canada with Rogers Sportsnet. At the beginning of this month, Sport Radar released its 2023 Betting Corruption and Match Fixing Report. To get into the report and what else Sports Radar is up to these days, we're very pleased to welcome to the podcast Andrea Kronich, the Executive Vice President, Integrity, Rights Protection, and Regulatory Services. Andrea, thanks so much for joining us from your office in Munich.
Thanks a lot, Steve, for the invitation.
Hey, Andreas, I want to start with just your own personal journey in this industry. We were talking off camera before we hit the record button that you got your career started in the sports business with the Bundesliga, but you also told a great story about just how you got into this world of integrity services, which seems to become more and more important in the sports world these days.
Yeah, it's quite a journey, and it's close to 20 years now. So back in 2004, end of 2004, so close to 20 years now, there was a massive match fixing scandal which popped up in the German soccer market. So there were one prominent referee, but also two or three others who were manipulating matches. And at this time, I was working for the German Bundesliga. In the business development area, responsible for sports betting with other topics. And out of a sudden, I was handling this match fixing case for the Bundesliga side. And this brought me into contact with Sport Radar at this time, who developed a system to detect betting-related manipulation. And in 2008, then I changed, after 10 great years working for German soccer, to the management of Sport Radar, taking over what we call these days the integrity services, and where we are supporting, close to 20 years now, sport governing bodies around the world, but also police and law enforcement with our different services. And something also to conclude here, if you would have asked me in 2008, how long do you think will match fixing prevail? And I would have said, hey, give it 3, 4, 5 more years. But the detection is so good, and the opportunities to also look after this cancer of sport are so strong and promising that it will disappear. But after 20 years, we have to say it's a cancer. It's still there. It's developing, but it can also be controlled.
Andreas, I think one question that comes up, and I think that certainly applies on the advertising and marketing piece that we've seen here in Canada, but I think also it maybe touches on the integrity piece, is that it feels sometimes that sports betting is something new, because in North America we're seeing all these regulated markets now, and people look at the amount of sports betting commercials, and it's almost like this is a new thing. But as you mentioned, I mean, match fixing goes back not just decades, but probably goes back 100 years, and has been something that's been around long before we had regulated sports betting here in North America.
Yeah, I think you even if you really look into the topic, you can go even further back in the years. So at the end of the day, sport manipulation is as old as sport. There was always a temptation, to influence the outcome of sporting competitions, and with the digital revolution, and where sports betting was becoming more and more a common opportunity for sports fans, this has of course also changed the match fixing landscape. One important caveat or one important differentiation that we have to mention is when we talk about sports manipulation, there's always a difference between sports betting related manipulation and sports manipulation. Not every manipulated match is manipulated for betting purposes. There's a differentiation, and which is an important one.
Andreas, that's a great segue. We have a lot of ground I want to cover with you on the podcast, but let's start with the report that Sport Radar released at the beginning of March. And one question I did have off the top is just, you know, explaining to our audience what suspicious matches mean. And again, if you're in the industry or if someone really hasn't followed integrity closely or match fixing, you see a report like the one Sport Radar puts out, and you see, you know, soccer continues to be the most effective sport by match fixing with almost 900 suspicious matches. Can you just explain what that means exactly?
Yeah. So in 2023, we in total detected over 1,300 suspicious matches across 11 sports and 105 countries. Yeah. Which shows how diversified match fixing or the cancer is. If we say a match is suspicious, it's from our perspective 110% fixed. Yeah. We have a very careful and rigid process to grade the suspiciousness of matches. But if we, what we call escalate a match to be suspicious, to be manipulated for betting purposes, we are 110% sure. And what is important, in total, we detected over the last years over 9,300 matches. And we, in the last 18 years, we never had a so-called false positive. Meaning, so in case we tell our sport partner, if we tell the police, if we tell a regulatory authority that the match is manipulated for betting purposes, we never had one case where we made a mistake, where it turned out that the match was not manipulated for betting purposes. And but you have to be careful. It's, if we talk about the total amount of matches, 9,300, over 1,300 last year, this is an impressive and very bad figure. But you have to always put it into perspective. Last year, we monitored over 850,000 sport competitions in over 70 sports. So it's, we have to take it serious. As I told in the beginning, I always use this metaphor of a cancer. If you do not fight against it, it will spread in sport, over the sports, globally, doing from nation to nation. But the flip side is that currently, from our perspective, only 0.21% of all matches that we monitored are suspicious to be manipulated for betting purposes. So you have to find the right trade-off. And this is also something that we are doing over the years. We always want to become better. So that if we identify more manipulated matches, this means, first of all, our system is getting better, but because we are also now applying actively artificial intelligence. We developed since 2017, we invested, in the beginning we called it machine learning. These days it's more posh to call it artificial intelligence. But since 2017, we invested a lot in the performance of our systems. And what was machine learning back in the days and this artificial intelligence these days helped us last year that close to 75% of all matches were also identified by the system, not only by the manual work of my team. And just to, that you also understand what we are doing. These days, the monitoring is based on three columns. The first column is that we are monitoring the entire global betting industry. Legal and illegal bookmakers, regulated and unregulated bookmakers. Over 600 relevant bookmakers are in our massive database, over 30 billion odds changes a year. Yeah. Second column is what we called our stake account level data. So from over 400 bookmakers globally, we do not only have the odds and odds changes pre-match and live, but we also have the concrete states. These are over 20 million betting slips a day, which helps us in 50% of the manipulated matches, helps us to identify exactly the source. These are anonymized data due to data protection, but we know the amount, the exact date and hour and minute and second when it was played and with which bookmaker. So this helps us a lot. And the third column is also a victim of match fixing, which is very often forgotten in the public discussion, the industry, the bookmaker industry. These days we have 79 regulated bookmakers who are cooperating with us, meaning we established a way how we interact. They alert us about suspicious movements, suspicious information, insider information they receive. And in return, we also provide information about suspicious matches. In this context, it's also important for the protection of our customers, for the industry, but also for the end consumer, the punter. Sportradar's content, so all odds, all services that we are providing are only on matches where we have no indication that they are manipulated for betting purpose. The other way around, if our system identifies suspiciousness on a specific player, athlete, or match, Sportradar is not offering this to the industry, which is, of course, also a very strong leverage to fight betting-related manipulation.
Hey, Andreas, you have to think too that just given the increasing popularity of live in-game prop betting, that's added another layer of complexity to what companies like yours do.
Of course, as I mentioned, 30 billion odds changes a day. Also, seeing the trend again when I started getting closer to sports betting in 2004, there was no such thing than live betting. There was no live betting. It was always pre-match. Our first system that was therefore called early warning system, because back in the days it was possible to identify days up front suspicious line movements and to alert police or the sport. Yeah, these days approximately 75% of all fixing is going on in the live markets. And a lot of this also in the unregulated market, in particular in specific Asian countries, yeah, where the majority of some big operators are located. This is not a finger-pointing exercise, don't get me wrong, yeah, because this is essential to understand. The status of a bookmaker does not make a difference with regard to match fixing. Whether the bookmaker is regulated or unregulated, at the end of the day, he has to make the payout. Yeah, someone is paying the parties. So the bookmaker is always the victim. Yeah. And therefore it's essential to understand it's not the finger pointing exercise, all the bad guys in Asia. That's not the case. Match fixing is also affecting the markets or the industry in North America, in Europe, in South America, in Africa, you name it. Yeah. But due to the setup of the Asian bookmaker industry with a very high limits and the anonymity and the bad regulation, it's easier for criminals to hide their activities if they approach those markets and there's little KYC and all the necessary opportunities then also to investigate successfully match fixing. Live betting was a game changer, but due to the complexity of our system, it has grown over the years. We are able to cover 100% of all sports betting around the globe, whether it's live, pre-match, regulated or unregulated, or black markets.
Andreas, I want to dig into a few of the numbers from the report and soccer, which, no surprise, soccer is just because it's the most popular sport for betting, led the report with 880 suspicious matches. Basketball's next at 205, and then table tennis with 70. Hockey or ice hockey for the audience that don't follow hockey as closely as we do here in North America had 8 cases. Is it fair to say, Andreas, that it's still the sport with lower tiers are most susceptible, again, because of the money that today's athletes made if you're playing in La Liga or the Premiership or the Bundesliga, the National Hockey League, the NBA. This is a big, obviously match fixing is a big concern in the tennis world, and it tends not to be the Grand Slams or the major tournaments like the Canadian Opens here in Canada, but it's those satellite and challenger tournaments where you see the majority of those suspicious cases.
Yeah, you're obviously right. Let's say the salary level of an athlete is one of the relevant aspects of match fixing. Yeah, in the top divisions, in the top with the top athletes and their salaries, it's very unlikely. It's not impossible, but it's very unlikely. And of course, they are not so often targeted like those below. But this is it's not so easy that you can just say this is only related to the salary level. You have very often you have to look into the corruption index of the respective country. Yeah, how good are the rules and regulations of the respective sport, and are they also implemented? Yeah, what is the general, let's say, sports regime in the respective country? Is this something where sports betting, like anti-doping or like doping, is identified as a threat? And it's where there are also the necessary laws, but also rules and regulations are in place. And are those rules and regulations then also enforced? Yeah. So it's a wild mixture. And if you look into the motivation of match fixers, for them, it's extremely important to identify what are the vulnerabilities of a specific sport. And here the COVID crisis played an immense role. Yeah, you know this from different sports. We are not talking about NHL. We are not talking about Bundesliga here in Germany. They were able to cope also with the financial consequences. But the vast majority of the global sports had a massive financial impact. If salaries are not paid in a respective sport, this is already an alarm bell which is ringing. If individuals, athletes, referees, if they have a vulnerability, and this can be financial, this can be issues with a partner, this can be problem with a coach, this can be addictions, alcohol, drugs, gaming, whatsoever. These are the, let's say, these are the touch points that the criminals are looking for. Yeah, to identify who is vulnerable, who is open to start match fixing. And we see this, unfortunately, also as a tendency these days, that criminals are also looking to start, I call it recruiting, of the match fixers of tomorrow in youth competitions. Youth competitions which are partly even not offered for betting. Yeah, but they start training and forcing athletes to manipulate. And this is something that we see. I told you in the beginning, we are doing this now close to 20 years, and we have a massive network, not only of bookmakers and over 170 sport organizations that we are globally cooperating with, but also a lot of international and national police forces and law enforcement agencies. So we are doing not only the monitoring and detection, but we are also doing concrete investigation. I have a team of over 35 investigators coming from the world of counterterrorism, financial fraud, military defense, police, you name it. And we are doing on behalf of police, law enforcement, but also for sport organizations, the concrete investigations into match fixing. And doing this for over 20 years, you can imagine how big our database is, how much we know about the international organized crime groups jumping from country to country. Yeah, the good thing also, because you're representing here also North America and in particular Canada. Last year, we had no case in Canada, and also a very limited number of manipulated matches. Of this 1,300, only 35 were coming from North America. But the vast majority was coming from the Caribbean, and no match was identified here, as I said, for Canada, nor for the big leagues, which is a good thing. But again, this is also maybe a fair reflection how good sport is organized, and how good rules and regulations are enforced in North American sport. This does not mean that you are immune against it. Yeah. But you mentioned, or you quoted the numbers before. If you see the numbers in soccer in Europe, yeah, we have an issue. But this is not only third, fourth, fifth, sixth division. Yeah. Of course, we are not talking Premier League. We are not talking Bundesliga. Yeah. But there are other top division in Europe which are affected.
A word from our sponsor.
Hey there, sports fans. Are you looking for fresh and fun takes on the hottest topics in Canadian sports? Well, we've got just what you need. Introducing Homestand Sports Today, your go-to daily sports newsletter, bringing you the Canadian angle on the hottest NHL, NBA, footy stories, and more right to your inbox. But wait, there's more. Homestand Sports isn't just another text-heavy newsletter. Every story has its own video featuring our talented hosts like me, Albert Vartanian, giving you a newsletter experience like never before. And did I mention it's a free subscription? Subscribe now at homestand.ca.
Now back to the show.
Andreas, just quickly on the investigations piece and the manpower. I mean, one of the stories that we followed in the Gaming News Canada newsletter last year were the 10 Chinese snooker players who were suspended. And Sport Radar, I think that investigation went on for 8 to 10 months. But again, Sport Radar had a very integral role to play in that investigation that led to the suspension for life of those snooker players.
Yep. Yeah, this is something. This was a great success story last year. It was a lot of work of my team. So we supported the global governing body of snooker, WBBSA, in this investigation. We were doing we were even doing interviews with the suspicious players. We were doing the phone downloading. So the forensic, the digital forensic. So it was a massive investigation. But as I told you before, we are over the years we developed our own investigation team. Why? Because very often when we detect betting related fraud, and then we go to police and we go to sport, and they look at us with big eyes and said, "Hey, where's the smoking gun?" Right. Yeah, and therefore we said, okay, we are gathering so much intelligence now, let's set up a professional team. And it was not only snooker. Snooker was a great case, yeah, but we had something similar in esport. We had something similar in South America in soccer. So we are supporting a lot of different sport organizations in their fight. If a partner is cooperating with us closely for many years, like here in the case with WPBSA, they also know what we can do. We had a case with the Austrian Federal Police, Austria, neighbor here of Germany, which started in the third and fourth division. It's now expanding to over 12 European football leagues. Yeah, everything started very locally, but we are supporting the Federal Police of Austria, and we have cooperations for over 10 years now. Yeah, so which started back in the days is these days an extremely successful cooperation. We had a case in 22 with Riot Games in esport. Yeah, where 12 players were sanctioned for over 27 years. Again, this is something that you develop, and these are good cases of sporting organizations who take the responsibility for integrity and a clean sport really serious. You can do a lot, and the burden, and this is something also maybe too specific, but there's a difference between criminal law and sport law. The burden of proof in criminal law beyond reasonable doubt, in sport for the comfortable satisfaction, yeah, of the judge. So there in sport with on the disciplinary level, you can do much, much more than on the, let's say, with criminal cases, which takes much more time and also money. And therefore, there are very positive cases. And this is also the reason why we have this investigative team, which is supporting our sport partners.
And Andrea, something I hear a lot or read a lot about in North America is that everybody's predicting that there's going to be a major match fixing scandal. And it seems a bit odd to me that at a time in North America where we finally have regulated sports betting, that would mean there would be enough guardrails put in place so there wouldn't be a match fixing scandal. Just your thoughts on that. Does a do having regulated markets, does that lessen the opportunity to have match fixing?
There are two aspects that you have to think about. Match fixing is like a bank robbery. You can try to protect your bank as you want. If there is someone who is crazy enough, he will try it. Yeah, criminals are always there. So it's naive to think that you can completely erase a problem. Yeah, but and of course, therefore, you can never predict whether there will be a big match fixing case in the US or in another country, in Germany, next year or in 2 years or 3 years. But what we have experienced over the last 20 years, and this is clear based on experience, every time when a market, a betting market, is regulated in a proper way, meaning you have strong regulation, but also a competitive regulation, meaning that prohibition is not the main aspect of the regulation, match fixers are looking for other markets. Yeah, because there is the visibility. I give an example, and just talking about my own country, Germany. We have a regulatory authority, which is also putting now a regulation in place, and we have regulated bookmakers. Also, it's a federal system like in the US, and with federal states, and everyone has his own regulation. But the problematic here in Germany is that live betting is very much limited. There's also a limitation to pre-match betting on specific sports, even relevant sports, from European soccer, for instance. And the consequence is, and this is not a finger-pointing exercise, but the consequence is, consider a situation that bets for a specific event, live, pre-match, cannot be offered by the legitimate regulated bookmakers here in Germany. And consider a situation there are match fixers targeting this specific sporting events, then there is no visibility in the German market. Yeah, because the criminals will definitely place their money with bookmakers who are offering these bets. Yeah, outside Germany, they don't care. Yeah, and therefore what we see in well-regulated competitive markets, where the bookmakers are also by law obliged to communicate and cooperate with the regulatory authority, with police and law enforcement. I'll give you an example in the UK. Yeah, you don't have a black market, and you have very, very limited activities for match fixers into sport. Yeah, so there's a clear, to sum it up, the better a market is regulated, the better the protection for sport against match fixing.
You spoke a few minutes ago, Andreas, about young athletes. And I know here in Canada, the Canadian Centre for Ethics and Sports, they've stepped up their education program with young athletes around betting and integrity and match fixing. And the Canadian Olympic Committee we know there's the Summer Olympics coming up in Paris this year, and athletes representing Canada and Paris will undergo training around match fixing. And I know that's the department that I think has grown at Sport Radar. Would you be able to speak for a few moments about the work that Sport Radar is doing in educating athletes and other stakeholders in sport?
Yeah. Monitoring detection is important, but prevention is always better. Yeah. And so this was, since we are fighting betting related manipulation, we are always also educating. We are educating in particular athletes, players, but also referees, officials, the people behind. We are consulting sports organizations. Not every organization is as professional as the big leagues in the US, yeah, and in Canada. Not every sport is so professional like IOC, FIFA, the big ones. The vast majority of sport organizations, they have maximum 10 operational staff. How should they know rules and regulations? And therefore, we from the beginning, we also started offering what we call education and prevention. And these are, at the end of the day, what you know, these are workshops. These are e-learning tutorials. These are integrity apps. And over the last years, we had over 114,000 sports person, so mainly athletes, from 82 countries, from 34 different sports that we educated. Yeah, this does not mean that it's completely, as I said in the beginning, erasing the problem. But in particular, for youth players, it's so essential that you invest as a sport and organization in education and prevention. Know your rules. Yeah, very often the first approach from matrixes towards sporting people is the misuse of insider information. Most players here, even in Germany, in the top division, they do not know that they are not allowed to talk with their spouse about the latest training results, whether an important player will play, is injured or whatsoever, which is always betting relevant. And by not applying to the rules, they are breaking the rules. And this is the first step. And if then a match fixer is approaching them and try to blackmail and say, hey, by the way, you already gave me some insider information and you broke the rule, this is then opening the door to blackmail people to really start match fixing. Therefore, education is absolutely key. Yeah. And you need to, and this is also one of the important services that we provide and where we see which has an impact, in particular for young players and athletes who have their career in front of them. They know sports betting. Yeah, they are much, much better expert in the digital space than you and I, but sometimes they don't know the rules. And this is coming with youth. They overestimate their own control about it. Yeah. So match fixers have a very fine feeling for how to corrupt people, in particular young athletes.
Yeah, you make a couple of great points, Andreas. One on the funding piece, and right now the Canadian Olympic Committee and the Canadian Paralympic Committee have requested the government for additional funding because they're saying that some national sports organizations are in dire financial straits. And to your point, a lot of the NSOs in Canada have small staffs, and there's a lot. They have a lot on their plate, and it's hard to justify, you know, providing education around sports betting, which is important, but juggling also a lot of other responsibilities. And then, we saw in the NFL, where since the NFL's come out with their gambling policy, I think 25 NFL employees were fired. We've seen a number of players suspended, and again, there is a lack of understanding about the policy and what you can and can't do when it comes to sports betting.
Absolutely. No, absolutely. But here also to mention this, I told you that we are cooperating with a lot of state authorities also in Canada. We have a very long-standing and productive cooperation with the Canadian Center of Ethics and Sport. Yeah. And so you are in comparison to other countries, Canada is really also on the forefront. Something similar like the Australians, you take it, let's say, from the perception, sport perception, you take the issue or the challenge really serious, yeah, in comparison also to other countries. We do this globally, and Canada is doing a great job here. But yes, every dollar which is invested into prevention is much more efficient than a dollar which is invested into monitoring detection, because to prevent a crime, everyone knows this, is much, much more productive and efficient than just following up and investigating a crime. Yeah. So it's the invest of sport, or also from the government side, into education and prevention is key for the success in the fight against match fixing.
Andreas, a couple more questions. I want to go back to our artificial intelligence, because it seems I can't read my weekend newspaper anymore, or can't read the internet every day without seeing some mention of artificial intelligence. And, you know, when I go to gambling industry conferences, I go to the Sport Radar booth, and I see the salespeople and the partnerships people and senior executives like yourself. But I know there's obviously a massive team of engineers and data specialists and can you maybe just talk to our audience a little bit about the people behind the scenes who are doing all that work, and again, the evolving impact that artificial intelligence has on Sportradar's business?
Yeah, artificial intelligence. I think this is everyone these days is justifying his perspective in the future with artificial intelligence. But as I mentioned before, we started due to the sheer massive number of big data that we are handling. Just to reiterate, 30 billion data sets a day, just a year, just on odds changes. 20 million betting slips a day. Yeah, this is something that you cannot handle manually. It's not efficient. And therefore, I try to explain it in my layman words. Therefore, we said, okay, we have to apply very powerful filters. And at the end of the day, this is this self-learning machine or machine learning algorithm that we developed over the last 7 years were then resulting in the first time in a very, very efficient way that we were able, that now the system is able to detect betting patterns that we haven't seen before. What is crucial to understand, artificial intelligence is changing the needle. It's a game changer, but it's not replacing the work of the human experts. Yeah. It's supporting the work of the human experts because of the sheer number of big data. Yeah. And therefore we see it not, let's say, as a threat to the manual work. It's just an improvement in the quality level that we are providing. And this is the reason, one of the reasons why we increase the number of suspicious matches that we detected. But of course, it's the number is really impressive. Yeah. I told you in total we had over 1,300 manipulated matches last year, and the system in itself flagged 977 out of this, yeah, close to 75%. And this is an increase, and this is also makes me positive for the future. This is an increase in comparison to 22, where we already implemented the first level of this artificial intelligence system by 123%. Yeah. And it's a team of extremely smart people constantly working on this. But the benefit is also, as I told you, again, 30 billion data sets a year, 20 million betting slips a day. This is necessary. This is the foundation to apply artificial intelligence. And this is the reason why we are also successful in this. Yeah, we are not talking about 40,000 or 120,000 or 120 million. Yeah, we are talking about the big data, and this is supporting the growth of our monitoring. But again, only to improve the manual work, the expertise of our over 40 senior betting experts coming from the entire industry. And this is also essential. Sports betting in the US, sports betting in Canada is different to sports betting in Europe. And it's massively different to sports betting in Asia. It's like comparing hockey with basketball with handball. Both is played with a ball, but completely different rules. Therefore, you need to have the experts on the technology side, but also the experts on the betting side to understand what are the patterns. Because, of course, also the criminal knows us. There was in 23, there was a investigative journalism on a match-fixing case in handball who interviewed a referee and offered him the opportunity or asked him whether he is willing to manipulate matches. He was he was calling himself an Asian businessman, blah blah blah, and then and this was done with a hidden camera, and then the referee said, maybe I'm a little bit too old, but in particular, Sportradar is looking at the matches. This is not worth doing it. Yeah, so we are the better the system it becomes, the better the deterrent is. Yeah, betting related manipulation is the same like insider trading on a stock exchange. It always depends, and therefore here the comparison is very good. On a stock exchange, you have millions and millions of price changes a day. You need high performance systems in the background to identify is there insider trading or not.
Andreas, two more questions. I've talked to people at different companies in the integrity business and what you offer, and it's an interesting dynamic. On one hand, you from a business standpoint, you're competitors, but on the other hand, you're in working in this thing together, and it does seem there is a spirit of collaboration between the different companies and organizations and leagues. And that you all want the same, ultimately have the same goal. And like I said, it's funny. It's like on one hand you're fighting each other for business every day, but you're also together. You're working towards a common goal.
Do you mean our competitors in the sports betting industry?
Yes. Well, I'm thinking, you know, again, like organizations like the International Tennis Integrity Agency and the IOC has its own integrity.
This is correct. Yeah, but this is partly a misperception. For instance, with IOC, we have a long-lasting partnership. So we are doing the risk assessment for them for the upcoming Olympic Games. We are partnering with them now for over 12 years. So we are monitoring and supporting all Olympic Games for the last 12 or 16 years. Yeah, with Tennis Integrity, we are also we are their service provider. Yeah, so we have a close cooperation here, and this is it's essential that we always support that. Sport organizations set up their own integrity units. As I said before, this can only be done financially if you have the foundation, if you're a big sport, but also for smaller sports, we offer our monitoring for free. Yeah. So we currently have, as I said, over 170 sport organizations as partners. If you are a sport organization, even if you're a small one, a national or international, you can come to us and say, can you please monitor our competitions if they're offered for betting? And we are doing this for free. It's like an alerting tool that you put at your house, which is protecting not only the your main door, but also the back door or all the windows and so on and so on. And this is essential. Yeah. And we are providing this for free. And so to make sure that all sport, and this is the reason why we also have 850,000 matches that we monitor, and no one else is coming close to this. Yeah. And over 70 sports. Some of the sports I even do not know how to pronounce correctly. Have you ever heard about kabaddi in India? Second most important sport in India. Or pesapallo from here, from the Scandinavia. This is a kind of hockey sport. So over 70 different sports. And I mentioned also in the beginning to find the right balance. 11 sports were affected in 23. We monitor over 70. Yeah. So over 60 were clean, completely clean, nothing. Yeah. Again, but 1,300 manipulated matches. And therefore, you always have to find the right balance, and sport need to prepare for it. Like with anti-doping, don't overshoot, don't overreact. Yeah. No reason to be super critical, but be careful. Always identify if there is a risk inside your organization. If money is always a driver, yeah. But if there are other vulnerabilities in your team, in your staff, and then you usually are able to protect your sport successfully.
Last question, Andreas, and this is something I like to ask guests most times on this podcast, and that's. What keeps you awake at night right now with what your job is and what is it that you worry and when fret about? And as we talked about before we started the podcast, I mean, this is another busy year, right? We have a Summer Olympics, we have a Euro Championship, and then we have all the other stuff, busy sports calendar going on. But what keeps you awake at night?
Usually I sleep very well. because I have a great team of close to 150 people working 24/7 in over the five different continents, and providing the services to our partner. What keeps me critical is of course the massive opportunities that criminal organizations, with when they are internationally organized, have to impact sport, and to use technology in particular in the digital space to corrupt sport. And my biggest concern is that sport, not all sports organizations, are these days prepared for the challenges of the digital environment, neither for the fans, but in particular here for international organized crime. We see very good blueprints like IOC, who are responsible as a global sports organization body for also to support the smaller international federations. But the biggest challenge I see these days is international coordination and really setting up and enforcing rules and regulations. Yeah, at the end of the day, a criminal will always decide, and we see this on a daily basis, a criminal will always decide to try to approach a specific sport based on his personal risk assessment and the different opportunities. And we had this here, you touched this in the beginning and about European soccer with a high number of manipulated matches. We had cases where we cooperated with a specific country, with the sporting organization in a specific country, a football organization in Europe. And they took concrete actions. And within 2 months, this leak was clean and the cancer was popping up behind the next frontier. So they are just looking because the opportunities are there. Yeah, and what we also see, and this is also not threatening but worrying me, is that we see more and more organized crime groups investing into sport, taking over complete clubs, bringing on board already corrupted players and coaches. Again, not to exaggerate and put it into perspective, and therefore proper rules and regulation, a strong compliance is needed by sport to prevent that these organizations coming in, and they are not only doing match fixing, but this is out of the scope of the discussion today. They have a multitude of criminal activities, in particular money laundering and trafficking and whatsoever. And we see this in sport. And this is, from my perspective, the biggest concern, international organized crime groups targeting sport to facilitate their criminal activities and that wash their money.
Andreas Kronik is the Executive Vice President of Integrity, Rights Protection and Regulatory Services for Sport Radar. He joins us from Munich. Andreas, can't thank you enough for joining us on the Gaming News Canada show. It's been a great conversation, and hopefully we can get you back on again at some point.
Thank you very much for your time and interest, and have a great day.
That's it for this episode of the Gaming News Canada Show podcast. For more about Gaming News Canada, please go to gamingnewscanada.ca. And if you're interested in being a sponsor or advertising on this podcast, please email me, Steve McAllister, at steve@gamingnewscanada.ca. Thanks again to our guest, Andreas Kronik, today, and we will see you again soon.
Thank you for listening to the Gaming News Canada show. Sign up for our newsletter at gamingnewscanada.ca. Follow Steve McAllister on LinkedIn. Message Steve if you're interested in being a sponsor or featured guest.